Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company and great to see the form of Nick Kyrgios over the weekend. I really can't believe it, Skeet. I don't know what has possessed him, but he's playing some really good tennis and a man that has been right across all of the tennis action is the wide world of sports tennis anchor and host of The First Serve. And he joins us, Brett Phillips, here on Sports Day. Welcome, mate.
Hey, gents. Always always good to be back on with you.
Nick Kyrgios, we touched on his form at the top, his seventh ATP title and first in 3 years. Is it fair to say he's in the form of his career?
Look, I've got to say, Mark, right now he's playing terrific tennis. He's letting the tennis do the talking. There's, you know, I suppose the things that go on in a Kyrgios match, which are always going to be part of a Nick match. But on the whole, his tennis, you know, Wimbledon here, prior to Wimbledon, when he played in that US hard court swing at Indian Wells, Miami, I think he's, what, 27-7 this year. If Wimbledon had have included the points, he would have been back in the top 20. I mean, he's playing top five tennis. I think the line of the day, and he went out and won the doubles today as well with Jack Sock, so the first man in the history, 53-year history of that tournament in Washington to actually win the singles and doubles. But Ivan Dodig, who many people listening in mightn't know, Croatian. He's won men's doubles grand slams, been a doubles specialist for a long time. He looked over at Nick at the presentation. He said, "What are you doing there? I mean, you should be number one. You should be number one in the world." And Nick, you know, gave him, you know, the courtesy of, you know, thank you, appreciate that. And I just wonder if that'll sit in Nick's head now that, okay, a lot's gone on in my life, tennis-wise, off the court. I'm now 27, 28. This is, I suppose, as stable as I've seen the off-court situation. I mean, there's been a few, you know, obviously a few girlfriends that have come and gone, and this, he seems just in a really, really good place, which is obviously resulting in some more stable tennis. Because we just say it again, Mark and Carl, his tennis is off the charts. It's top five tennis. That's where we would love him to be. Whether he still wants to maybe chase that possible dream, we'll have to wait and see. But you know that every time he steps out, if he's in a good frame of mind and physically okay, he's going to win far more tennis matches than he loses.
Is the hard court surface, which is what the City Open was played on over there in Washington, D.C. in the United States, do you think that's now shaping as the best surface and the one that he's going to have the most success on, you reckon?
Well, I suppose, Carl, it is the surface where the majority of tournaments are played on during the year. We get that little swing of grass, the clay, which Nick's not a fan of. He's just decided now I'm not going to play the clay court season. That's my time to stay home, have some normality, which means I don't have to grind for necessarily 8 to 9, 10 months of the year. I can do it for maybe 5 to 6, still get good enough results that can elevate the ranking. And this is what he can do that not many players are afforded. We've got to grind and really dig a bit deeper. Nick's natural talent can just you know, elevate him to another level. So, yeah, look, this period, he'll go to Montreal this week and play the Masters 1000. We'll see how he comes up physically. He put in some hard yards this week. He had to double up a couple of days with the rain in Washington and play his quarterfinal and his semifinal. And, you know, New York is a place where he could absolutely dominate. They love him there, the New Yorkers. So, I think we just go one tournament at a time, but there is a subtle change there. We'll see if it's sort of quantifiable, sustainable over a period. And he's at that point now where, I can really maximise this and set up my career. But let's hope we're not jumping too early and then we're going to get let down. But we'll wait and see. I mean, he really, at the end of the day, he's not letting us down. You know, he sets his own expectations. And, you know, if you just love your tennis and love watching him, it's bloody good value for money, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Saw a documentary on Jimmy Connors and the New York crowd love him. And there's a little bit of Nick here that shows us those same characteristics, good and bad, by the way. We've talked about his form, but I specifically didn't drop a serve all week in this event. And at Wimbledon in the final, I don't think he could have served any better. So that's a huge weapon still for him.
Yeah, and it's such a hard serve to read. You're just looking at players, are they shifting left, shifting right? Is it going to go T? Is it going to go wide? It's a really hard serve to read. And certainly we always talk about, you know, John Isner and Riley Opelka, who's the young John Isner, these guys over 200 centimetres who, you know, it's a massive weapon. But, you know, for players of that, not that dimension, they can make that a key part of their game. I mean, even the great Roger Federer has had one of the finest serves. He never gets spoken about in that regard. You know, Djokovic has improved his first serve enormously. So, yeah, for Nick, it is the go-to. Look, any time he's got to maybe just dig himself out of a little hole, he's 15-30 down or he's 30-40 down, staring at a break point, he can just go to that and you know, it just whistles past your ears. So, yeah, his serving was absolutely on song once again.
And to be winning both the singles and the doubles tournaments, which he's made a little bit of a habit of, particularly when it comes to the doubles, and it doesn't matter which opponent he's with either. Jack Sock this time from the United States. He seems to be able to, you know, team up and get it done, and the environment he's creating out on the court is one that is certainly been a little bit of a surprise for me.
Yeah, he loves the doubles, absolutely loves it. And obviously it's a tricky one because in modern tennis you just... You know, you just can't step up and play singles, doubles like the old days, every single tournament. But he does enjoy anything that's that sort of team environment. It's more than just him. He's got someone else to bounce off. He's got, you know, someone else to share the joy or the frustration with. And, you know, it's either Thanasi, who's his sort of, you know, Australian bromance, or it's Jack Sock, who's his American bromance. They're the two he bonds with the most on the tour. And, yeah, I mean, Nick, I think we'd love to see any of those top flight players. We would love to see play more doubles if somehow, you know, the schedule could allow that. And, you know, I think all these tournaments, I mean, these 250s, the 500s, they put a lot of weight on the doubles. But, yeah, the Americans, this little swing here, you know, Atlanta, Washington in particular, they absolutely love Nick Kyrgios, let me tell you, over there. And obviously they, you know, would, I imagine, pay him a little bit extra on top of the prize money to be at that tournament. So he could have pulled out of the doubles, for example, today, Carl, and he didn't want to let the tournament down, even though he was, you know, probably a little bit gassed.
So all of the attention turns to Canada now, to Montreal. Kyrgios Demenour will be in action there. The action kicks off tomorrow night. Isla Tomljanovic, Storm Sanders is going to be playing there, along with Astra Sharma, a couple of our West Aussie girls. But Daria Saville, a semi-final at Washington also. She's actually been really competitive too recently.
It's a great year. Yeah, great year for Dasha. Just to think, you know, February, March, she had no ranking. No ranking. She was starting from scratch, coming back from that Achilles, which had really derailed her for the best part of a couple of years. And she's now got her ranking to about, what, 73. So it's an incredible run. She's done it in the bigger tournaments where the points are obviously pretty valuable. And, look, she does set herself apart, Dasha, from the rest of our Australian girls. She's got an incredible level of... you know, just competitiveness, passion out there. She rides every single point. She's certainly, for a girl of her stature, there's, you know, she's never been renowned for having a big serve, but she's getting more value on the serve. She's really worked on that. And she's just a player. When you're up against her in the draw, you don't want to be playing her because she makes you fight and scrap for absolutely everything. Can she get back to the top 20 where she was? I would say that, you know, women's tennis is so open that there is still that possibility, which would be, you know, quite an extraordinary comeback after a couple of really tough years with injury.
Great to chat, mate. Thank you very much for sharing some time with us again tonight.
No problems. Thanks, guys.
Good on you. Brett Phillips there, Wide World of Sports tennis anchor and host of The First Serve. Thanks to the Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter with a big range of top brand outdoor power gear at the Toolkit Depot. We'll come back with Mark Reddings' Kia's Top 7 next here on Sports Day.